Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome you to the 300th episode of Porch Talk. Your host, Monk, and it's kind of weird. I know you're used to hearing Alan on here, but Alan's with me.
Hello.
It's time
for
Alan to be interviewed on the 300th episode. Yeah. How are you, man?
It's good. It's good. 300 episodes under the belt.
300 episodes. So take me back to when you started this thing. Do you have any kind of ideas that this would go to 300 episodes?
I had no idea what it was going to look like at all. So, it's called Porch Talk. When I moved back from Mobile, I was sitting with some friends of mine in New Hope that I hadn't seen.
Hopefully on a porch.
Definitely was. I mean, it's like the origin of the name. And it's always funny, like, you know, when I'm reaching out to people and when I get to their place or wherever we meet up, is like, I don't really have a porch. And I was like, it's not about a porch.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the origin story of how it started. And we were catching up. And, you know, we would have a great conversation that I thought was important to be had. I love culture. I love digging into culture. And we were talking about cultural issues and whether it be music or the arts or pop culture. And of I thought the ideas that we had were worth sharing and then to build a community around that. And I had just started getting into podcasting. And after we would have those conversations, the guitars or the pianos would come out and we would share music. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I don't think there's a format particularly like this one.
Yeah.
And so I never thought it was going to get off the porch. And I had only intended it to be like, you know, a stable of two or three guys, and we would just go maybe. It started out, we were doing like once a month, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And Blake Dillard, a great friend of mine where it all started in New Hope, he was like, you should think about getting the show out more. Have you ever heard the name Colin Krieger? No. Well, he's kind of the man around town in Columbus as far as knowing what goes down. He's a realtor. Seems to have his hands on everything. Follow his Good for Business page on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I was already, I was always into indie music. And I was really getting into small business because I've got somewhat of an entrepreneurial mindset myself. And
sure.
I want to have my own small business. And so I have a heart for small business. And I had Colin on the show. And during the interview, Colin kind of caught that I was really into indie music and into DIY music scenes. And then he's, have you ever heard of Jamie Nettles and the Sunstroke House?
Yeah.
No.
So you had never heard of Sunstroke before Porch Talk? Wow.
Never. And so I'm telling you, like, since, and Porch Talk just recently turned 3, and I can honestly say that these past 3 years are probably the best years of my life.
Yeah. So you and I, we didn't meet till after you had the podcast.
Mm-mm.
Oh, because you didn't meet me until Sunstroke. Yeah, okay, well, damn.
Yeah.
I just thought I just missed you at Sunstroke or something.
And I mean, it's so, like, you and a lot of the friends that I have now, I don't think I would have ever met or crossed paths with if it wasn't for this show.
Yeah.
And it goes back to Blake, to Colin, to Jamie. And then Jamie allowed me to interview these musicians mm-hmm. while they're coming through her house. And that really propped the show up. And it kind of made it more of a music show.
Yeah.
And then we had the idea. You shortly after that came on board. And we started this Untapped in Vinyl. And then Big John was coming on board. And we started like an Off the Deep End. And Cobb. And I mean, you got all the Andrew. And you have all these players that kind of yeah. bring their own part to the table. And it's really became a staple for not only this area, but not just for the country. But I mean, we've hit every continent. We've hit most every country, and they keep coming back now.
That's awesome. All right. So at what point did you think this is something? I mean, because was there ever a point, I guess, when you first started it that you thought, I don't know if I'm going to do this all the time or I want to do this more? Was it what was the point? What was the turning point when you realized, okay, this is going to hit? Was it when you started seeing the people listening?
It was when the show started picking up traction. And I remember, I mean, I think we had like maybe a dozen episodes out, and me and Blake were sitting on his porch once again. And I think we'd put out like 10 or 15 episodes, like I said. And, you know, I had like 300 downloads. And there used to be a really good website, and it was... And if you ask me what it was now, I wouldn't be able to tell you because yeah. I haven't looked at it in forever. And it would tell you, it's like, these are the numbers you need to hit if you're going to have a successful podcast. And we were right there on it. We weren't quite there, but we were right at the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Colin, with Jamie, I mean, phew, the numbers shot up.
Yeah, yeah.
And we knew that we were having a successful podcast, and then opportunities began to present themselves with Soren Bryce and some of the musicians that I had on the show gave Porch Talk some clout within the music community. And so I started reaching out to musicians in the area and be like, hey, this is the work that I'm doing. You can check my back catalog, and I would love for you to be on the catalog.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew that I want more. I don't want to do it once a month, every 2 weeks. I would like to do it once a week, and then it turned into twice a week.
Yeah.
And I mean, like right now, man, if I could, I would put an episode out Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
If I had the time.
Yeah.
And I aim to get there. And I mean, it's really been a huge blessing because I wouldn't have met Monson. Reached out to him about being on the show. That was a small business thing. Mm-hmm. Now I work for them.
And he was like, hey, you have a beard. Why don't you come on?
Right. I mean, we really hit it off that night.
Yeah, yeah.
And through that's how I got the job at Startville. I mean, like, everything that I have going on in my life right now is literally because of Porch Talk.
Yeah, wow.
It's unreal. Like, my closest relationships, my income, most everything in my life at the moment is because of this show. And it's become
all
a
the
huge...
ladies that you got to fight off with a stick.
Yeah, I mean, crowbar.
Crowbar.
And I've learned, like, you hit them right between the eye. It'll stun them. So.
Stun them.
Yeah.
All right. So, looking back at 300 episodes, and in no particular order,
yeah,
I want you to give me your five favorite episodes. Can you do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Early James and the latest.
Which one was that? The one where he played over at in Birmingham?
Yeah, that was the first time I met James, and like we needed a crowbar that night. I mean, we hit it off. I mean, I stayed over. He cooked, he grilled,
yeah.
And I would have spent the night if it wasn't a Sunday and I had to be in Startville, Mississippi the next day, you know, yeah. So I drove home that night. And that was a huge episode because I met Joey, who is drums in a lot of bands in the Birmingham area,
mm-hmm.
One of my favorite bands. New Devils.
New Devils, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so Joey is the drummer in New Devils, and my favorite song off of their album, Hopes and Prayers, is Joey is Driving.
Yeah.
And I met Ford Boswell, which you met, who was on the show when we done it here.
Yeah, when Early was here.
Adrian, and sometimes Adrian co-hosts with me when I go to Birmingham.
Yeah, and, I've never met Adrian.
I met Daniel Rain and Zach Austin and obviously James and Cammy. And that was huge just for connecting dots. And like the thing about James's house is it's kind of the same thing as my house in Kennedy. It appears to be like a hub. And so that's where I met Rebecca Eglin and some of the other people that are really into the Birmingham music scene when it comes to Little Italy's. And that was a real pivotal episode for Birmingham because I had Early James in the latest. A lot of other bands were interested in my show because of that.
Yeah.
Abe Partridge was a huge deal.
Okay. So that's the second one on your list?
Yeah.
No particular order.
Right.
Yeah.
The first time that we done Untapped and Vinyl, that was a huge deal. And then the first Off the Deep End, and that was when I was like, well, we can have shows within the show.
Yeah.
And like non-music, one of my favorite interviews was one of the latest ones that I done with a fellow podcaster. His name is Corbin Elliott. And he's 25 now.
Out of Canada?
No.
Oh, that's not
He's out of North Carolina.
Okay.
And he had reached out to me through the podcasting platform that we do. And it was inspiring. Just to hear his story. I mean, at 23 years old, you know, he graduated college, wrote a book, started his own business, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was huge, and, I mean, that opens itself up. Some of these Monson and Brothers, that was a special episode as well because the fellowship that I have with Ryan Monson and the folks that work there, it definitely means Bo Jeffries, Lance Cooper, Jesse.
Every damn one of them.
Yeah, follows the list. And I don't know. So that is five, but yeah, I would five. Like to give a sixth.
Yeah. An honorable mention.
Yeah. I think any episode I do with Cobb, because Cobb always just brings an insane amount of energy, and it's fun.
Yeah.
And I would say that.
Yeah, ours is fun, but with beer goggles on.
Yeah, right on, yeah. And that's what I love about it. So, like, when the regulars come on, like Cobb or you or John or Andrew, like, as Untapped and Vinyl progresses, I mean, there's a lot of people who just listen to Untapped and Vinyl.
Yeah.
And they know exactly what they're getting into.
No, that's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's something for them to look forward to. And I'm glad that we have those fans that are fans of that show of in the show.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so and we'll talk about the album a little bit later, but give me like what is there one performance or two performances that really stuck out as like, this is my favorite. I can't believe I'm sitting in front of this person listening to them do this song on my podcast.
I got to go back to Abe Partridge.
Yeah.
When I found out about Abe, we were at the Sunstroke House. I had Ross Newell. We had just wrapped up our interview. And he was like, you ever heard? I was on Unhand the Monster, Pharoah Gibbs' podcast. And I was like, I never heard of that. And he said, you should look it up. There's a lot of great Mobile musicians, and that might be a great way for you to get introduced to them. And when you get back down to Mobile, you could arrange to sit down with them. And because of that, I found Abe Partridge.
Yeah.
And I contacted Abe during the pandemic. You know, told him a little bit about who I was and what I do. And he's like, well, I ain't got nothing going on right now, buddy. Why don't you come on down here? So I did. And it was one of those special things, I would say, like, same with James and a lot of people. Like, once you come on the show, is we hit it off and we become friends. And we don't just deal with each other one time and we're done. It's like a kind of a network.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll never forget him playing Black Flag T-shirt Lament.
God, I mean, that,
right there in his garage. And that still to this day is one of my favorite recordings that I have.
Like, I the other day, I was at Kentuck Festival over in Northport. And I just all of a sudden, because I thought he wasn't going to be there on Saturday. I thought he was just going to be there on Sunday. So I walk over and I like look and I'm like, wait a minute, that looks like Abe Partridge's shit. And then I look over and I'm like, that's Abe Partridge sitting right there. Yeah. So I finally got to meet him, and we talked for a few minutes, spoke very highly of you. And I mentioned the Black Flag t-shirt, uh-huh. Lament. I said, where is that going to be available? Where is that going to be available? He says, oh, well, I got a new album and it's going to be on there. So I guess this live record that he's putting out, live from London.
Live from the UK.
UK, yeah. Yeah, I guess it's going to be on there. So it's like, okay, finally. Because, you know, I can't just like pull up my streaming services and find that song.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing about that is, I mean, a lot of people with some of these songs, especially, it was a special recording because I had never recorded this way. But with James Mullis, I mean, we had the entire band in a living room.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was only running this mic at the time. But this mic can capture the entire, you remember like how we used to do
it was omnidirectional and that was
that's called. Right
yeah, yeah.
And
I'm on radio, I should know that shit.
Yeah. And I stuck that mic just right in the middle of the room and we did a sound check and you know, ran about 30 seconds and I passed it over to James and he's like, run it. And that was pretty incredible recording. Yeah, considering. Yeah. Like you had five different instruments going. And
I remember I kicked myself in the butt.
You were supposed to be there.
Because I was supposed to be there. And then you did a Facebook Live while they were performing. Or maybe Facebook Live, or you sent me a video or something.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, holy crap. I cannot believe that. I forget for whatever reason I couldn't go. Maybe I just was like, I've been at work. I don't want
to
go.
And also, it's not going to be on this record, but it'll definitely be on the second. Just to give a shout out to the girls is Sarah Lee Langford. She has some really great recordings. Janet Simpson does as well. Taylor Honeycutt.
Mm-hmm.
B.B. Palmer. And I failed to mention that. I would probably give that an honorable mention, too. It's like B.B., Taylor, and Josh. I love those guys. Mm-hmm. And it's always a great time. I went down there the first time, and we were recording an episode, and there was a baby shower happening across the street. And next thing you know, there is a keyboard, and then here comes a saxophone, and it's just right outside the window. And so yeah, that's just the ambiance. And so it's like, we stop recording, and we just go over there with him and kick it.
Yeah.
And then, like, we move all the recording stuff to the back of the house, and it was a failed recording. And I told them, I was like, I'm a little upset about it. They was like, no big deal. Practice run. Come back. Hang out with us again. So
yeah,
we got together to do it again.
That's awesome. So how far has this journey taken you, like, mileage-wise? Who have you went the furthest to do? Was it Mobile?
It probably would be Mobile. But the thing about Mobile is I lived down there for 7 years.
Yeah.
And I go down there once a year. So I plan these trips. And every time I go to Mobile, I go to Abe's house. Like, that's part of the trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it probably would be Mobile.
So, now we've talked a little bit about some of your other connections. Tell us about, and it's been really cool and lucrative for the podcast, but tell us about the Old Elegante connection and how, did that all get started through Early?
No.
So, yeah, and the whole Cornelius Chapel.
That started right here in this kitchen. Curiosity, man. I was curious as a cat.
Yeah.
And so I figured curiosity could kill that cat, and I was buzzed one night. And so
had we done an episode where we talked about Cornelius
Chapel? Yeah, right. I mean, we were talking about the Dexatines, yeah. And, like, you know, I had reached out to Elliot, and Elliot's kind of hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
come to find out that Elliot wasn't really involved anymore. Mm-hmm. And, like, just through me, like, just trying to figure out who was there, who's involved there, through Taylor Hollinsworth.
Yeah.
And then Jaco. And then got to Wes. Got to Les. And that's kind of how that picked up and started. And then, like, most of the time now, if I go to Birmingham record, if there's nothing going on at El Elegante, Wes will let me use that place to record.
Yeah, that's awesome. Get another beer?
Yeah, sure.
Get these out of the freezer. The cats are one by each.
And that was, you know, it was just through social media, reaching out to, and the way that really cracked up is I reached directly to the Cornelius Chapel record, and I just wrote them and be like, hey, I got a podcast, and I want to come meet y'all. And then through Taylor and some of the other people, you know, it kind of fell right into place. But Jaco was the first. We recorded upstairs at O Elegante with Jaco, and then I had Taylor Hollinsworth. And then later, I would have Chad Fisher, Trombone Dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We recorded there. Janet Simpson, Wes McDonald, Les Newby, Kyle Kimbrell.
Yeah. And you've kind of taken those that connection outside, too, because I know Taylor, we had him. We interviewed him at with the Blips at
Druid City
Brewing Company. Yeah. I've got a cat biting my feet. The Porch Talk mascots are going crazy right now.
Tapping
vinyl mascots. So looking at the record you got coming out.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about this. I'm pointing to something that everybody listening can't see, but we'll talk about that in a second.
Right.
But let's talk about this record. Where did that come from? Like, did you... You didn't start this thing thinking, I'm going to make a record one day.
Oh, heavens no.
So, where did this... Did somebody give you the idea to do a record?
Yeah. And I'm trying to place my mind, like, where that brainchild came from. Like, it was Abe.
Abe?
I want to say it was Abe. I think it was... we were either texting or... No, it was a phone call.
Yeah.
And I was thinking all day at work, and on my lunch break, I called Abe, and because I had it was just like a monkey on my back. I couldn't get it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that I wanted to put out a Porch Talk vinyl because I thought we had some really good recordings. And I told him I was going to put it out in the ether on Porch Talk social media and let the fans vote who were their favorite performances on Porch Talk, and that would be the record. And it turned out that they had voted predominantly male.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a few females they had voted in. And I was like, well, cool. We'll do an all-male record. And then we'll turn around when that's done. We'll turn around and do an all-female record. And while I was on the phone with Abe, he was like, what are you going to do for album art? I said, well, I haven't even gotten that far. I'll do it.
Well, that's awesome. And it's killer art, too. I mean, you have been drawn, you know, you have been artisticized by Abe Partridge.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
That means a lot to me, too. Is like, you know, I consider Abe to be a dear friend of mine, and he's one of my favorite artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that I would be a part of that catalog.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, like, think of all the people that he draws, these famous musicians. He's done a couple of artists. Mm-hmm. Like, he done one of Van Gogh that was commissioned. Yeah. And it's like the devil prying Van Gogh's ear off.
Yeah.
And just that whole... And I'm addicted to anything Alabama. That's why I would really push Taylor Hollinsworth, Cornelius Chapel.
Yeah.
Even Dialback. Even though Dialback is in Mississippi, those guys are, you know, mm-hmm. from Bama. They just wound up in Water Valley. So anything...
And they were a good hookup for the Jimbo Mathis interview.
Absolutely.
As well.
And we're not done with Dialback. We're going to hook up with them soon. But, yeah, that's... The record came together and... you know, people reached out. At that time, we were involved with the Blue Front Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people was like, I want the blues. Early James and the latest, that cut was voted on there. Management did not like that idea. And so I backed off that. And so I brought in Robert Conley Farr, who is a student of Jimmy Duck Holmes. Mm-hmm. And so we have two.
Got a killer new record out too, well, it's not as new right now. But
yeah, and so I replaced Early James with Robert Conley Farr, which is a great song called I Ain't Dying.
Yeah.
And it's not like most of these cuts that I have are cuts that I recorded, with the exception of Taylor, his cut he sent from his studio. Will sent it, Stuart. He sent that song from his house, and Robert's in Canada. So he sent that. But everything else was recorded off this.
Yeah. So who all's on this one? I mean, I obviously know. I mean, have you announced everybody that's going to be on it?
On the record, yeah. And let's see if I can name everybody.
I'm sure you can at this point, because I know you've told me everybody's going to be on
all
it
right.
two or three times.
I want to give it the old college try. Is me. And I couldn't believe, you know, I was the most voted.
Really? Well, blew, good for you, dude.
Blew my mind.
Hell yeah. I think I remember that in the Facebook post.
And that, you know, and right when I was sending everything over to Abe, like who was going to be on the record for the backside, because you know Abe just didn't do the front, he did the back.
Yeah.
So everything would be seamless. Is man, I'm glad that you're putting your own music on there. That's important.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And that was another thing that was incredibly important to me was when I go sit down with like Early James, and I know I'm getting off track and I'm chasing a rabbit, but
no,
when I sat down with Abe, when I sat down with James, I played my music for them too. And that was something that really helped my songwriting, because these people that I admire, their songwriting, and I believe to be some of the best in the state of Alabama, they like my songs too. And that meant a lot to me. And that also helped bring out another level of me.
Yeah,
I'd be like, if these guys on this playing ground like my music, I want to do my best to be on that ground too. But back to the record, me, Spencer Thomas, Tim Higgins, Abe Partridge, Will Stewart, Taylor Hollinsworth, Robert Conley Farr, Groove Johnson. Here I go.
I don't have it in front of me, so
yeah, I don't either. I'm just flying off the seam here.
I'm not like checking you.
Okay, so I'm thinking about it. Oh, Can Rabbit, which is Ryan Monson. Mm-hmm. Black Betty, which is Joshua Cosby. Jeremy Stanfill. Both of those guys are out of Memphis. And there's one on the A side that I'm leaving out. But I'm bad close. But that's all that I can remember at this point.
So the blues. Has that been... Because you've really kind of... Because I know you and I had a blues episode of Untapped and Vinyl. And I think if I remember correctly, you know, you weren't that schooled on the blues at that point. I mean, you knew the blues and you knew artists and things like that. But all of a sudden, man, you like go from like letting me talk about the blues for a good while, and we discussed a little bit, to all of a sudden you're hanging out with all the greats and down at the Blue Front and making that connection. I mean, which you wouldn't have made if not for the podcast.
Once again, man. Like, okay, so that really set it off. So when we were watching that documentary with Robert Johnson, granted, I was always under the influence that the blues inspired like some of my favorite bands, because I love the Black Keys.
The Robert Johnson film?
Yeah,
the documentary. Or the R.L. Burnside?
Both of those. Fat Possum. The Fat Possum thing really set it off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like in that, like a heart for it to be captured.
Which is good, man. I mean, that's like very commendable, because these old guys, a lot of them not going to be around much longer. You know, Alan Lomax and a lot of these people went around field recordings years ago.
That's right. And so, I mean, like just on that tangent is I've got 7 or 8 blues guys that are down at the Blue Front that, you know, all I got to do is hit them up and hopefully it's a good time. We'll set it up and I'll get over to Clarksdale to get them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was through Untapped and Vinyl, through those documentaries that we watched. And to be honest with you, Philip Saville, and I don't remember how it happened. I don't remember if I reached out to him or if someone told me about Philip. But when I went to Philadelphia to have Philip Saville on, Philip Saville was a student of Jimmy Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip gave me a little lesson after our podcast, and so I learned a little bit about Bentonia style. And then that episode got shared.
Yeah.
On the Blue Front Cafe social media page.
Yeah. That's large.
And so I shared that post on my personal, and I was like, I'm living in a dream. I was like, the longest living blues joint in America just shared my podcast.
I
don't have the words.
Yeah.
And then the Blue Front Cafe sends me a DM. And they was like, we're well aware of your work, and we have several musicians that we would like you to interview. And I was like, well, I'd like to have Jimmy Duck Holmes. And writes back immediately, we'll make that happen.
Yeah.
And the wheels got to turning, and I got to meet Jimmy. Gilbert Vow, who has a huge hand in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, next thing you know, I would be at the Blue Front sitting down with Jimmy having that interview. And then a couple months later, I would be on the porch playing at the Blue Front Cafe. Yeah. And I was like, I am beside
myself.
You're part
of that family of people that get to say they did
that. It's unbelievable. That's awesome. It's unbelievable.
And you ran sound for them as well during the...
Right.
So.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's really crazy. Like, where this little podcast from nowhere, Alabama, led me.
Yeah. All right. So, two questions, two-sided question. All right. Dream guest, not living.
Not living?
Yep.
Jim Morrison.
Second, very good. Second part of the question, living.
Travis Tritt.
Really? That one, huh. I never would have thought you to say that one. You would have said that one.
Yeah.
You know, like I wasn't a big, I mean, I've known who Travis Tritt is for freaking all of my adult life. But man, I got a chance to see him acoustic at the Bama Theater in Tuscaloosa. Uh-huh. Absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, you know.
What is it? What is it about Travis
Tritt? It wasn't until Chris Stapleton that I realized how much I love Travis Tritt.
Yeah.
Because I thought, and I was aware of the Steel Drivers.
Sure.
But, you know, it seemed like when Travis Tritt kind of left the radio scene, and then Chris Stapleton was really taking the country by storm. Mm-hmm. And he was on every country radio. And granted, I don't listen to country radio a whole lot. But I'm very aware of, like, who's in, who's out.
Sure, sure.
And when I heard Chris Stapleton, I was like, well, that's Travis Tritt's replacement. And in my opinion, he doesn't have anything on Travis Tritt. Like, vocally. Like, and the thing about, like, Travis Tritt's voice... And I love, like, how the media, like, has attacked him over the years. Because it was, like, mid-success, and this is kind of when he backed off. And he shared this story on an interview, and I really wanted to pick his brain about this. Because they said that he was outlaw country, but in a bad way.
Yeah.
And then you know who reached out to him and had a conversation with him? Waylon Jennings.
Yeah.
And he said, I am well aware of what's happening to you. It happened to me. It happened to Willie. It happened to Hank Williams. It happened to Johnny Cash. Yep. And he said, are tickets still selling? Yeah. Every show sold out. Are your records still selling out? Yeah. I mean, three of them are platinum. One of them's platinum three times over. Well, the people that love your music and love you are still going to your shows. They're still buying your music. That's all that matters. Who cares what the media thinks of you? You keep doing you and stay right in line with that. And, like, I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Travis Tritt. If I, like...
Sure.
I believe I would be starstruck. And, I mean, like, you know, maybe, you know, maybe you thought I would say, like, Jack White or Dan Arbuck. Yeah, that would
not
be...
really, I guess I had an idea of who you would say. But when you said Travis Tritt, I kind of...
Yeah.
But, I mean, I understand, and I've never thought about... Chris Stapleton kind of holding that same spot that Travis Tritt. I mean,
do you agree?
Yeah, I totally get it, man. Once you said that and you started explaining, I was like, wait a minute. And my brain's, you know, the little rat on the wheel in my brain is like, that makes total fucking sense. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I mean, in Travis Tritt's voice, I mean, I knew how it sounded on record, but when I heard him just live, just him and an acoustic guitar, and he's a fantastic guitar player. He was taught by Jerry Reed.
Uh-huh.
You know, who is one of the most spectacular guitar players you'll ever hear in your life. But then his voice, I was like, holy shit. I guess it just more on the radio stuff, it just more sounded like screaming. But I totally get it now. Chris Stapleton. Because Chris Stapleton, to me, has one of the most phenomenal voices. He is a fantastic songwriter.
You know, and lately, like, with the Doves that he's been doing and, like, working. Like, him and Tom Morello have a song together now. Chris Stapleton. Mm-hmm. Tom Morello.
From Rage Against the Machine, and
it's pretty good. We were listening to it yesterday at work. I was like, "That's great," but I was like, "It would be way doper if it was Travis." because my coworker, he does that. He knows that I compare those two all the time, and I was like, "Travis Tritt's better, hands down." And I'll share this story, and then I'll shut up about it. I think I would be totally starstruck too, but I'm divorced. And my favorite song by Travis Tritt is Here's a Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I...
So that was like, that was your divorce song?
I wouldn't say that, but it definitely meant a lot to me, like when I started like hearing the story behind it, because that was kind of the same thing that had happened to me. Is I got home from work one day, and my stuff wasn't gone, but all her stuff was gone.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, and then seeing the divorce papers and all that, and I was just, well, I totally relate to the backstory of the song.
Yeah.
It's probably one of my favorite songs of all time. Like, if ever I get depressed about that, I can listen to that song, and it kind of, it lifts me up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool. All right, so you've come so far in 300 episodes, and I designed the poster here.
Yeah.
Which I guess at the time that this goes up, I mean, it'll probably be out and circulating through the social medias.
Yeah, it'll be going up tonight.
I will make you different versions of this that you could use on Instagram and things like that.
Oh, sweet.
But we're talking about now the very first Porch Fest. Tell us about the Porch Fest.
Yeah, man. Once again, never in my life thought I would be making a collaborative record. You know, when the Stiftones, they did an American tour early this past summer, and they put up a map, and we follow each other on social media, and so I saw that they had a dot where I live, like Kennedy, Alabama, and I wrote Sean, and I was like, that's Kennedy, Alabama, that you have as stop C after Atlanta. Oh, yeah, I know. I was about to have a conversation with you about that.
They put it on there before?
Yeah, before we even talked about it. And I was like, there ain't nothing in Kennedy, Alabama. He said, you are. You know, and they had been on the show before.
That's cool, yeah.
And it had been a phone line, and that was another one of those things like where we had hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming to stay at the house, and so I was like, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the Kennedy, Alabama experience. We'll use my back porch as a stage. I'll invite Tim Higgins out to support.
Yeah, well, this is technically, I guess, the first one was just a little get-together.
That was a show.
Okay.
You know, and I played with the lead guitarist, Tony Newton of the Stiftones, and we did a set together, and about 30 people showed up, which mm-hmm. I thought was pretty good for Kennedy, something just to be thrown together in a whim.
Sure.
And that really, I think we can pull this off. And I wanted to do it again, and I didn't know when, and then November 7th is my birthday, and it happens to be my good friend Daniel Sharp's birthday weekend, too.
Yeah.
And so I made this Facebook post. It's like, I want to do a festival at my house for my birthday weekend. I'm going to invite some musicians that I respect, and we're going to see what happens. And Daniel Sharp was one of the first ones that wrote me back, and he said, that's my birthday weekend too. I want to come play. And I'm telling you, like, Daniel Sharp, and Jimbo, if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. Daniel Sharp has a song that Jimbo tried to steal.
Really?
Not steal, but he wanted to record it.
Yeah.
And just to give you a gauge of how good of a songwriter Daniel Sharp is, because Jimbo Mathis is a great songwriter mm-hmm. too. And then me and Daniel get to talking, and Bo Adams, Moonpie Curtis, Mitch Presley. There's a couple more that's going to be coming mm-hmm. with John McIntyre. That's going to be coming with Daniel. And so those cats are from Mississippi. We have people that are going to be coming from all over the state of Mississippi, people that are coming from all over Alabama. There's a couple coming down from Missouri. And so I asked Sarah Lee Langford. I wanted Cornelius Chapel to be represented. I asked Ryan Munson if he would come play Night Surf, because I wanted a great closer on Sunday night. Yeah. I was like, go ahead and rock us out. And there's going to be more. I didn't announce everybody that's coming, so I wanted a couple of surprises. So yeah, you never know who might just show up on my porch Saturday or Sunday. We're going to do comedy. I got my good friend Johnny Havard coming up from Mobile, and John McGarity, who is a regular on the show. Yeah. He likes to do comedy, so I was like, come on, let's have it.
So, and you're like, So I'm going to be heading there. I've never been to your house. Like, show me the setup. What I got? I got a big field out in front of me behind your house?
Or? Yeah, so in my backyard.
We're on the back porch or the front porch?
Back porch. Okay. So I have a huge backyard. We could easily have 250, 300 people out there.
Wow.
And, like, you would totally have enough space. So I'm encouraging people to bring blankets and their chairs, coolers, if they want to bring something to drink or snack on. I do plan to have some kind of catering or a food truck there. I'm working on that right now. Mm-hmm. But parking is totally controlled. That's not going to be an issue. I'm encouraging people, if they want to come and camp, they can stay. It seems to be the weather is going to be fairly mild for that weekend. Yeah. And so that porch sits about, I don't know, 10 feet up above the ground. It does have a tin roof, but the sound really projects well.
Sure.
And the last time that we done it, dude, it was a total hit. So I really cannot wait for this weekend.
Very cool. So any chance that you and I are going to do a little on stage podcast, a little live Untapped and Vinyl?
I don't see why not.
I think that'd be totally cool.
And I mean, we were talking about it now. And I've got to talk to the musicians, but I'm thinking about recording a live. It won't be a record, but
sure,
a live CD. And then for anyone who came out for the weekend, I'll get your address and I'll mail it to you when it's done.
Or just see if you could put some of the performances onto the podcast.
Sure.
And maybe have a short little interview at the beginning with them or something.
Yeah.
And
we'll definitely
end with a couple live songs.
We'll definitely figure something out. It's going to have its own little porch talk magic about
Look at me acting like I'm running the joint and shit.
No, I mean, some of the greatest ideas were not mine.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited. So we're doing, this is episode 300. I hope this episode will be out tomorrow, which is Thursday. If not, it'd be Friday. And then this weekend is spent sitting down and thinking about everything that I need. Like, I'm going to go to Lowe's and buy some really cool lights for the porch.
Yeah.
And make sure that I can be as accommodating for people as possible, because I want everyone to have a great experience. And I want them to say, I will definitely come back if you do this again.
That's awesome. Plus, it's Tennessee Hate Week, so this week. So you got to do a little bit of that on Saturday as you're doing everything else.
Yeah, well, this is a LSU weekend.
Is it then?
So, and I'm going to work on that because I know people want to watch Alabama football, so we'll probably have a couple TVs set up inside.
Cool.
If they want to pop in and check the score every now and then. But
all right, man. So moving forward, kind of tying up the end over here, where do you see Porch Talk, where do you hope to have Porch Talk in the next 300 episodes?
That's a great question. I don't know. If you would have told me that, we would have a thing called Untapped and Vinyl or Off the Deep End within the show, if you told me that I was going to be putting out a record and then already thinking about a second record, if you told me I was going to be throwing a festival at my house, who knows? Step two is full-fledged record label. That's my next
one. So you're only at step two then?
Yeah.
I would think you're like at step five or six at this point.
Maybe.
You've stepped up a lot, man. I mean, just to think, and I want to compliment you too, because I remember when we first started I've been in radio now for 31 years, and I've interviewed freaking hundreds of people, and you have grown exponentially as an interviewer. So I say my hat's off, man. You've really stepped up. You've with the quality of artists you have on the show, you have you definitely have something that I want to listen to, and I'm glad that other people are checking it out and really responding to you as well, man.
Yeah. Congratulations. And I'm so thankful for the crowd. Is of course, when you try to do anything like this, and I really want to Jamie Nettles for her allowing me to record at her house, everything that Munson does, thank you so much for all that you do. And, man, there are a lot of people that are behind Porch Talk. And if I gave them a shout-out, they would be upset with me.
Yeah.
These are some of the behind-the-scenes people that you would never...
More modest people, yeah.
Absolutely. And they've actually been on some episodes. And, they immediately wrote me, take me out. I don't want my name on the show. I like being the guy in the background that no one knows about. And none of this would be possible without them. And so if you're out at Porch Fest, they might not tell you, but they're going to be at that festival.
Yeah.
And they are, I'm just the face and the voice.
Yeah.
Along with you.
Well, there's 100 other me's, you know,
yeah,
that have helped you out with this along the way. So,
and I'm just so glad that the city of Columbus as a whole has been so good to me. Starkville has been really good. Druid City, Bo Hicks,
yeah. Old Elegante,
yeah. Old Elegante, you know, the list keeps coming. Memphis, Tennessee. We've done a little work in Nashville. It's just, I want to continue to grow the show. Continue to upgrade my equipment to where I can do more. I want to move more toward video. That's another step.
Yeah.
I want to be more relevant on YouTube and some of these other platforms because I know that would help the show grow more.
Sure.
And I want to, you know, I would love to be at, you know, we recently had Manscaped reach out that was wanting to sponsor the show. And I was shy of how many downloads and episode I needed for them to be a sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
Which does not break my heart. It was just for them to know what Porch Talk was and be we want to sponsor this.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome, man. That's large. So, you know, as they, what was it, years ago when I was growing up and I was a kid, they had, I don't even know if they still make them, Virginia Slims.
Yeah.
And their little slogan was, "You've come a long way, baby." So here, cheers to another 300 episodes, brother. I appreciate you letting me be a part of it every week.
Yes, sir.
So we'll wrap it up at that. Any final closing words?
Yeah. O Elegante, Cornelius Chapel, and I'm thankful that we're slowly moving away with this to where we don't have to say, "I've never heard of you either." So y'all take care. Thank y'all so much.
Roll Tide.
News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to the Porch Talk. If you haven't done so already, I would ask that you would rate and review the show on whatever podcast app it is that you listen to. If you're bad, share it on your social media. Tell your friends about it. The person I failed to mention was B.B. Palmer on the record. Now, November 6th and 7th at my house in Kennedy, Alabama, I'm hosting Porch Fest. I would love for you to come and take part. If you're coming from afar, you can camp or stay with us to enjoy the full weekend. $20 a head, that's good for the whole weekend. I hope you'll come out and support everything that we have going on. I'm going to walk the show out the door now with a song of mine called "Outside My Window." Peace out. Outside my window, and here comes the afternoon. The rain clouds coming from the west, will I pass the test? What I said before me, what's a drink of cool water? Or enough to sink my ship. Escapes my morning. Well, that's cold coffee with a hot burning sun. Why you still tangled in last night's memory? What I am. A monkey full of snakes. Think I'll talk it over with you.
Instead. So what say you to adventure? If we pack our things and go, we'll go wherever we see fit. Well, that's a life on the open road. So what am I afraid of? Lowering my shield. Second thought, what's out my window?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.